Hey guys, welcome to the GOAT Podcast. I, Monica Teske, am actually going to be your host once again this week. Michael was not able to record this week, so it'll be just me again. And I am joined, as I always am, with my co-host, Cooper Teske. So let's get into it, because there's a lot I want to get into today. But not necessarily in the NFL. Today, it's my show this week, so I really wanted to talk about college basketball because there is a lot going on in college basketball at the moment. First of all, before we begin, I really wanted to say congratulations to the UConn Huskies on their national title victory last night. They defeated Purdue in dominating fashion. I saw someone say that the Alabama versus UConn game was closer than the final score indicated. And I think that the UConn-Purdue game was not as close as the final score indicated. That was a crazy game, but it never felt like Purdue had control. It always felt like UConn was right there. Even in the first half, there was a lot of back and forth. But in the back of your head, you always knew, oh, UConn's just going to turn it on. And they did. And they did really early on, and they never really took their foot off the gas. It's crazy. What an incredible, incredible team UConn has. And it was amazing to watch. It was amazing to see. And I'm just glad I got to witness it. You know, it's very rare that the favorite, you know, of everybody, it seems, in making their brackets will win the title. But this time, UConn did in dominant fashion, just like last year. So, congrats to Coach Hurley and congrats to the Huskies. That's not the only news in college basketball, and that's why we have an entire episode dedicated to it, because we need it. So, some of the biggest news, dare I say, of the entire year dropped probably while most of us were settling down or going to sleep Sunday night into Monday morning. John Calipari has supposedly accepted the head coaching position at Arkansas. Whoa. I will honestly say when I saw that, that is not what I was expecting at all. I'm recording this on Tuesday. I saw he put out a statement video today officially saying that he was stepping away from Kentucky because they needed a new voice. Honestly, this is quite possibly the biggest news in sports since Nick Saban announced his retirement on that random Wednesday in January. Nobody saw that one coming. There have been quite a few big college basketball openings recently when Coach K and Roy Williams retired after the 2021 season. But both of those openings were filled by people that were already on staff. There wasn't a lot of mystery and drama surrounding those openings as the Kentucky opening has now. There has been so much discussion since Monday, yesterday for me, regarding who will take over at Kentucky. I know that Nate Oates was put forth as a candidate for the position, or at least he's mentioned in the media as a candidate for the position, but he did put out a statement saying that he plans to stay at Alabama. I want Coach Oates to stay at Alabama, and I would love to see what he could do with Alabama going forward. But if I'm going to be completely honest with myself, I think he would be insane to not have some interest in Kentucky. Maybe, and maybe that's just his intentions right now. Maybe his intentions right now are to stay at Alabama. Good for him. But if Kentucky really wants him, they can throw a lot at him. And, you know, maybe they'll throw something at him that'll change his mind. So while Coach Oates has said he plans to stay at Alabama, and I do truly believe that he meant what he said when he said it, I don't think that I'm ready to rule Coach Oates out as the next coach at Kentucky quite yet. Dan Hurley is another name that's being thrown out there. You know, he just took UConn to their second title in a row, completely dominated both tournaments, last year's and this year's. I don't know if I've seen anything quite like what UConn has done over the past 2 years. It is a amazing sight to behold if you love college basketball. Coach Billy Donovan from the NBA, the Chicago Bulls, is another name that's being put out there as a potential replacement for Coach Cal. Coach Donovan, actually, was the last coach to take his team to back-to-back titles before Coach Hurley. And he did that with Florida in 2006 and 2007, I believe. Coach Donovan, though, it's been a long time since he was in college. He's been in the NBA since 2015. He coached the Thunder from 2015 to 2020. And then at the end of 2020, I believe it was September, October, somewhere in there, when he could not agree to a contract extension with the Thunder, he was hired by the Bulls, and he has been there ever since. Another name that's being thrown out is Scott Drew, and Coach Drew's been at Baylor since 2003. That would be an intriguing possibility for sure. Various other names I've heard thrown out, but I don't know if they're being discussed seriously. Bruce Pearl, Jay Wright, and, I mean, another national championship winning coach, although on the women's side, not the men's side, Dawn Staley. Another name that I have heard is Rick Pitino. He was at Kentucky before, left Kentucky to go to Boston, and reportedly, supposedly, he said that one of his biggest professional regrets was leaving Kentucky for the NBA. Now, Pitino was not without scandal in his past, so that would be it. I feel like that may be, you know, something for them to consider. Also, he is 71, so he is getting on up there, and we don't know how long he will be coaching, and so hiring a 71-year-old could come with risks that, you know, very soon he would be retiring. So definitely all things to consider for Kentucky. But I gotta say, a friend sent me something yesterday, and it was talking about the most prestigious coaching, you know, the most prestigious coaching openings, if they were all open, whatever. And Kentucky was not number one. And I'm honestly kind of shocked about that. I think that Kentucky could easily be the best possible job opening in all of college basketball. They have the fan base. They're willing to put the resources. They have the facilities, the enthusiasm. You know, Kentucky is ready to get back to title town for basketball, and they're willing to do what it takes. And I don't know if there are any or there are extremely, extremely few programs who have as much enthusiasm and passion about their basketball as Kentucky. Now, I gotta say though, Kentucky has got to be really, really, really careful with this hire, because them being such a prestigious basketball school, the reputation of Kentucky as a basketball program could all change if they mess this up. I was thinking about this yesterday. So, UCLA has the most national titles in all of college basketball. But if Mick Cronin were to leave UCLA today, it wouldn't be a huge deal. We would probably stop talking about it, you know, within a couple of hours. It would be a story just for a little bit, and then it would quickly fade into the background. And allow me to use some hyperbole for a moment. It would quickly go away like the story of Dusty May leaving Florida Atlantic to go to Michigan. I heard one sentence one time that Dusty May was leaving Florida Atlantic and going to Michigan. And then I heard nothing else about Florida Atlantic's job opening. I only learned that FAU hired a replacement because I dug around and searched that information out. UCLA, I know that was an exaggeration. UCLA is not FAU, but it wouldn't be that much different. You would hear that Mick Cronin is gone, and then the news would quickly fade away. However, you could argue that in the 70s, UCLA was the best job in all of college basketball. But after a few unsuccessful coaching hires, UCLA went from the pinnacle of college basketball to basically irrelevant now. Kentucky has to be very, very careful with this hire so that they don't hit that same level as UCLA. Right now, it kind of feels like Kentucky is in a decline. But honestly, when I looked at it, Kentucky was still competing at a pretty high level. I mean, I get the decline, but I mean, still, Kentucky is always, they've stayed relevant in the SEC. They've stayed relevant in the national conversation. They just have not been as elite as their fan base wants. And trust me, that sounds extremely familiar to me as an Alabama fan. So, just some details about Coach Cal and his time at Kentucky, just to kind of show you, you know, just what happened with his downfall in Kentucky. So, he came there in 2009. They have only missed the tournament twice, 2013 and 2021. So, Kentucky fans are very upset about how things are going because they have not reached the Elite Eight since 2019 and did not get past the opening weekend in any of the tournaments since. So there was no tournament in 2020. Coach Cal went to the Elite Eight 5 years ago, and then he didn't appear in the tournament the next time it was held. And then he's never gotten past the first weekend since then. It's kind of wild that we're here at this point now with Coach Cal leaving Kentucky. I remember there was a bunch of discussion in 2019 that Coach Cal was signing what was touted then as a lifetime contract. And to see now that we're just 5 years later and he is leaving Kentucky. And honestly, he's taking a pay decrease to do it. So I looked a little bit into his contract setup, and from what I understand, he would be getting $8.5 million at Kentucky. And then that would go up to $9 million in 2025. But if the numbers that are being reported for his contract at Arkansas, he's only going to be making $8 million. That's just crazy to me. He's not only leaving the place where he supposedly had a lifetime contract, but is taking a pay decrease to do it. That is wild. And this is the place that he won a national title. This is crazy to me. This whole deal seems very similar to me in a lot of ways to Nick Saban's retirement. And Nick Saban's retirement just keeps popping into my head as I'm mulling through this whole Coach Cal Kentucky thing. One difference that I do see, though, is that Alabama was still competing at a very high level when Saban retired, and Kentucky hasn't for 5 years. And I think that that makes this hire all the more important for Kentucky, because if they continue the swoon, they will slowly fade into irrelevance. And that is not anything the fan base or the university is looking for. So with all that said, I want to look at some of the candidates that are being put forth to take over for Coach Cal at Kentucky. And then there's a couple other candidates that I haven't really seen being discussed, but I think would be intriguing fits for Kentucky. So let's start with Nate Oates. He's one of the youngest guys on the list that's being discussed, and he took Buffalo from basic obscurity to being pretty competitive in the NCAA tournament. And then he took over at Alabama and turned them from a lower tier SEC team to a Final Four contender very, very quickly. He is known for his analytics-based offense, which is very fast-paced. You shoot threes, layups, and free throws, and you don't want to rely... Your offense would not rely on mid-range jumpers in Coach Oates' scheme. It's very effective, and that is shown in his time at Alabama, where his offense has been elite. I mean, elite as in, even with a subpar defense, Alabama still made it to the Final Four just because of how good that offense was. We could go into deep detail about how Oates' offense is so effective, but I think that would take way too long and kind of be outside the scope of what I'm trying to talk about in this podcast. We can't deny that Oates is a offensive genius on the court, but if I was Kentucky, I would shy away from hiring him. If some of the other people on this list would turn me down, then I might turn to Coach Oates, but he would not be where I would start my conversation at all. And here's why. Kentucky wants to compete for national titles. And, I mean, I understand. They should. They should expect that. I don't think Coach Oates will be able to get there consistently enough. I have reasons for thinking this, I promise. I'm not approaching this from a heart of bias. I do have reasons for why I think that. And I think there's a few games in particular from this season specifically, and I think just because it's freshest in my mind, that jump out to me to illustrate this point. And I don't know if there is a better example than the Final Four game against UConn. So, Coach Oates' offensive system relies on maximizing average points per possession. So, basically, to bring that into non-math terms, you want to shoot the high percentage shots. You want to get a lot of layups and a lot of free throws because those are almost guaranteed points. Or you want to get three-pointers because, well, obviously three is greater than two. So this offensive system has been shown, obviously it works, to score at a very high elite level over the course of a game when you can execute it properly. But the problem is, at a high level, the defenses will get you out of that system. And you're not going to be able to score at that high level. Good coaches like Dan Hurley, for example, know how to scheme their defense to push the offensive players out of their quarters, out of their comfort zone, and force them into shooting mid-range jumpers. Alabama shot a lot of mid-range jumpers in that game, and you can tell they were not comfortable. UConn forced Alabama off the three-point line, and then they had Klingon just being a monster defending the paint. And then UConn doesn't really foul that much. So that forced Alabama to take shots they weren't comfortable with. So even though Alabama shot a blistering 70% from three in the first half, UConn forced enough mid-range shots that they were up by four at half. So Alabama was shooting 70% from three, which is practically unsustainable over the course of an entire game in the first half, and UConn still finished the half up by four. That is insanity to me, and that just kind of goes to show how good UConn is. But what it relates to Coach Oates, though, in order for him to be able to compete year in and year out for championships, for titles, which is what he would need to do at Kentucky, he's got to grow and mature his schemes a bit more. And he's got to learn defensive analytics a little bit more. And he's got to learn how to be able to compete at that elite level, which is exactly what Kentucky would need. And I don't think Coach Oates can offer that to them right now. All right, so the next coach that was being seriously discussed is Dan Hurley. He's the coach at UConn, back-to-back national titles. There's not really a lot. I don't really know if there's much negative you can say about him. In the era of the transfer portal being so prevalent, what Coach Hurley was able to do at UConn with back-to-back titles and drastically different rosters was just incredible. His teams are unbelievably talented. And I think if he showed any interest in going to Kentucky, they would be insane to not hire him. However, I don't know if I would be interested in Kentucky if I was Coach Hurley. UConn is on the precipice of being discussed in the same breath as Duke, North Carolina, and even Kentucky. With last night's title, UConn is now tied for third all time for the most national championships. Duke is in fourth place with 5. North Carolina has 6, so they're tied with UConn. And then only UCLA and Kentucky have more. Coach Hurley is still young. He can take UConn to that next level, and he can have something incredible at a place without all of the pressures and expectations of Kentucky. And honestly, I think that is worth it. I would definitely be staying in UConn if I were Coach Hurley. So another name that's been thrown out is Billy Donovan. Now, before Coach Hurley and UConn's repeat, Coach Donovan was the last coach to win back-to-back titles. So obviously, we can see that he can coach at a very high level in college. But it's been a long time since he was in college, and the game has changed drastically. So now you have to be a good coach, but you've always had to be a good coach. But you have to be an elite recruiter now, because you have to be recruiting constantly, because at any point your players can get mad at you and hop in the portal and leave. And then you've got to find someone to replace them. So you have to be, you're not only recruiting high schoolers, you're recruiting potential transfers, you're recruiting your players, the players on your roster at all times, just to try to keep them there. And transferring did exist back when Coach Donovan was at Florida, but it wasn't to the level it's at now. And so, in that way, I think Coach Donovan is a huge gamble for Kentucky, because you are banking on him being able to acclimate to the new landscape of college basketball immediately. I would hate this hire for Kentucky, because I don't think the fan base has the patience to give Coach Donovan the chance he would need, because he's going to need to gradually get back into the game. He's going to need to acclimate, and Kentucky doesn't have the patience for that. And so, in that way, I don't think Coach Donovan would be a good hire. Another one, and this one might be my favorite, is Scott Drew. Scott Drew is currently the coach at Baylor, and he's been there since 2003. He took a Baylor program from scandal and just utter dismay to being a highly competitive team. Now, Baylor doesn't have the reputation of Kentucky, the resources of Kentucky, the appeal of Kentucky. And so I'd be very interested to see what Coach Drew could do with the reputation of Kentucky, the appeal, the resources of Kentucky. Because it seems like he's kind of reached Baylor's ceiling. But I don't think that's Coach Drew's ceiling. I think that's just Baylor's ceiling. And as far as coaching age is concerned, Drew is still relatively young. So I think that that could be a pretty dynamic hire for Kentucky. And so many things are changing in all of college sports right now with realignment. And I think this could be an incredible chance for Coach Drew to get out of the Big 12, which is perceived, rightly or wrongly, as a lesser basketball conference. And he could go to the SEC, which is perceived as one of the better, if not best, conferences in men's basketball. So the only issue that I see here for Kentucky hiring Coach Drew from Baylor is that there is a gamble that his true ceiling is Baylor's, is what Baylor has been able to accomplish, which is NCAA tournament appearances, but not necessarily Final Four or national championship appearances, let alone national championship wins. I don't think that he has, I don't believe that Baylor has a national title. I could be wrong, but I don't believe they do while he's been there. So, honestly, I think that this gamble for Kentucky, Coach Drew to Kentucky, would be similar to what Alabama did with Coach DeBoer. He's a proven coach. He's successful. And you are banking on him to be able to do even more with more resources and more prestige and a better reputation. So out of all of these options so far, I think Scott Drew is the best option. And I think I've almost talked myself into thinking he would be the perfect hire for this era of Kentucky basketball. They would not be nearly as far down as Baylor was when he came into the Baylor program, but he can take them from being down for Kentucky to competing really, really fast. Now, another couple of coaches that aren't necessarily on the list of people that are being commonly discussed, but I'd have to say Kelvin Sampson and Will Wade are two names that come to mind for me. Now, Kelvin Sampson is older. I think he's 68 or 69, so he's not going to be a long-term solution for Kentucky. But he's really, really good, so he may be worth the call. So, if Kentucky has their eyes on someone younger who needs a little bit of time to grow and develop, why wouldn't you not go for someone like Kelvin Sampson and let him finish out his career in Kentucky? You know he can coach at an elite level. And he can bring you out of this downtime very quickly, if not immediately. And you can use the last few years of his career to bring Kentucky up to undoubtedly, without a single shadow of a doubt, the top program in college basketball. And then you would have instant appeal to any coach that you want at all. And right now, I think some coaches may not be quite as inclined to go to Kentucky because Kentucky has been down a little bit lately. And so the pressure is higher than it already would be to bring them to success once more. But once Kentucky is a year in, year out contender again, who could possibly turn that job down? Kentucky, even as it is right now, today, would be a much better job than Houston. And if the Wildcats don't want to go with Coach Drew, my second pick, although it's kind of a 1A, 1B thing for me right now, is Coach Sampson. And then Will Wade. I have to think that Will Wade at least deserves a discussion. He could maybe, Will Wade is very young. He could come in after Coach Sampson comes in and retires. I don't know. Will Wade, the reason why he's not number one on my list right now is that he comes with some definite ethical baggage. But that hasn't necessarily been a stopping point for Kentucky before. Coach Cal had some ethical baggage. I mean, if Kentucky is willing, they have the resources they can expend to keep Coach Wade on the straight and narrow in order for him to be able to have success in Kentucky. And in getting ready for this podcast, I was reading a Kentucky message board, and somebody commented and said, I don't remember the exact quote. I didn't write it down, but basically they said that you're not trying to hire a preacher. You're trying to hire a basketball coach. He doesn't have to be the most squeaky clean person ever. Now, Will Wade, I think he's an incredible coach, but what the trouble that he got into in at LSU is a little bit bigger than just we're trying to hire a basketball coach and not a preacher. But he may still be an option. However, probably not now because of all the things that went on at LSU, he got a show cause penalty, which means he can't coach, at least in the SEC, until 2025. Unless he is suspended for, I think it's 10 games. And then I also am pretty sure that Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, would have to get involved in this whole situation as well. And I just don't think that he would approve that move. But after 2025, when that show cause expires, Coach Wade is a very promising young coach. And I think he can take a program to a title if he's willing to operate within the rules. And so that may be an option for Kentucky going down the road a little bit. Now, I know with all of this stuff, it's very fluid and it moves very quickly. So this episode could be obsolete by the time I post it. But I felt like this was something I really needed to discuss and get out. It's some of the biggest sports news of the year. I know it's only April, but I think I'm willing to step out and say that already. And so I wanted to make sure that I could address it as thoroughly as I can right now. I'm just so excited to see what's next for Kentucky. I saw someone, I believe it was over the weekend, say that Arkansas's coaching hire was going to change the landscape of college basketball as we knew it. And I thought they were just being dramatic. But it turns out they were not being dramatic at all. It is such an exciting time to be following college basketball. So in our next episode, we will return to our normal NFL coverage, and I will talk to you then.